I've been doing a series on the 10 paramis or perfections of the Buddha. And these are heart qualities that the Buddha to be, the Bodhisattva, it is believed perfected over lifetimes. And they're really just the qualities of the awake heart, and they're a very strong support for our practice. They're qualities we can orient to outside of formal meditation when we're just in our lives. And so it's a really nice complement to our meditation practice to have these qualities of the awake heart that we can practice off the cushion. The 10 paramis are generosity, morality, renunciation, wisdom, effort, patience, truthfulness, resolve, loving kindness, equanimity. And on my website, I'm putting all these talks on it. So there's already 8 talks on my website. And now I'm focusing on the 9th parami, which is kindness. And I do plan to post this one as well. So the Dalai Lama famously said, maybe his most famous quote, "My religion is kindness." And you can see it on bumper stickers. And, you know, the Dalai Lama, we might think of him as sort of the global ambassador of kindness and compassion. And he's an incredibly intelligent being. He got his Geshe degree, the equivalent of a PhD in Buddhist philosophy, at the age of 16. He will say, you know, he studies the 33 kinds of emptiness. And so he has a profound intellect and wisdom. And him saying, "My religion is kindness," is a lot more than just a bumper sticker. It's really this understanding that kindness is the road to awakening, the road to true happiness, and the road for there to be justice in the world. If your religion is kindness, then kindness is a divine state. In the Dharma, it's said the two wings of the Dharma are wisdom and love. And the Indian teacher on the 20th century, Sri Nisargadatta, said, "Wisdom tells me I'm nothing. Love tells me I'm everything. Between the two, my life ceaselessly flows." Wisdom might seem like it's a hard thing to kind of order up. You know, we all understand wisdom comes from living life and learning life lessons. But we do have a wisdom practice, and that is mindfulness. We're so lucky to be on a spiritual path where it's so simple. Just know what's happening in this moment. This is the path to true happiness, to being as awake as the Buddha. Just to know what's happening right now. It's so simple. It's a key to the universe. Aren't we lucky that it's so simple? And the second very simple key is to just be kind to yourself, to others, to those you like, to those you don't like, to those you agree with, to those you disagree with. Just be kind. And this is the path of awakening. So from the wisdom side of practice, awakening is deepening and perfecting our mindfulness. from the love side of practice, awakening is perfecting our ability to be kind, to be able to love unconditionally. And in addition to all the other meanings we have in life, it's beautiful if a very simple meaning of your life could be to love well. The more you do it, the happier you'll be. And, you know, there's this understanding that it's really beautiful to follow our heart, to listen to our heart and follow it. And, you know, our heart sometimes does not take us to very loving places. And so in addition to following the heart, we also need to train the heart. And that's the basic premise of loving kindness practice, is that we can learn to be more loving. It's not a character trait. It's actually a function of our mental habits. And the world we live in, the real world we live in, that we take with us everywhere we go in every moment of our life, the world we live in is the world of our mental habits. Because our mental habits filter what's happening. And through our mental habits, we choose what to think and how to act and what to pay attention to. And so this training of our mind and our heart, which is Buddhist practice, is incredibly powerful because we're going to the very crux of the issue. Everywhere we go, we are in our mind and our heart. And so paying attention to what we do with our mind is very important. So if we want to love well, we really want to make sure we don't get in our own way. What are the habits that do get in our way to be kinder and more loving? Well, we would all get it that the biggest kill joy or kill kindness is judging minds. And there's just a beautiful teaching from the Vipassana teacher, Michelle McDonald, that I heard on retreat with her once. You cannot judge and understand at the same time. We can think of kindness as sort of Pollyanna or, you know, saccharine or something, like not in touch with reality, sort of wishful thinking. But actually, kindness is very in touch with reality. It's judging that's out of touch. With judging, we have an idea about somebody. It's overgeneralized. It's overly negative, and it's fixed. We put them into that box, you know, and then that's where they live. And exceptions prove the rule. We can see somebody do something against our judgments, and it's like, well, you know, the exception proves the rule. They just live in that box in our mind. And that's very divorced from reality. People are complex. People change. People can behave beautifully in one moment and, you know, cause harm in the next moment out of ignorance. And so the only way to really understand life and be with life is to keep showing up for how it is moment after moment. And judging prevents that. And we all understand we need to be kind to ourselves. And out of kindness to ourselves really comes kindness to others. The metta understanding is it's not about who we're being kind to, it's that we're being kind. Kindness is not a self-centered thing. It's just a quality of heart we can direct towards ourselves or others. It's the same quality of heart. Just being kind. And in particular, we need to be kind to our vulnerabilities. We need to be really kind to ourselves when our feelings get hurt, when we feel scared about something, anxious, when we're struggling. That's when kindness really matters. I love this just little statement. Just I heard from a Tibetan teacher once. I just walked in to one of his teachings. I don't even remember his name, but I just heard him say, "Has your heart been kind today?" I don't know why, but that just has stuck with me so much. Has your heart been kind today? We don't need judging mind. Judging mind wants us to believe, you know, it's the tough love part of us. It's not. It's just tough. And it's removed from reality. Everything you need comes from kindness and compassion. And yes, we need discernment. We need to like understand, you know, cause and effect, what's happening. If I do this, then that happens. But none of that requires judgment. Discernment is just seeing clearly how things are. We absolutely need that. And that's the wisdom side of practice. So really noticing when we're being judgmental is so important. And all it is a thought. It's just a brain fart. It really is, doesn't mean much when you have a judgment. That's what's so great. The only power they have over you is the power you give them by believing them and identifying with them. But when you realize, oh yeah, just out of habit, my mind's being judgmental, then you can just let go. Yeah, it's just a brain fart. And another, so that's the primary way we limit our ability to love. Another way is that we focus on differences instead of what we all have in common. And really our differences are superficial. What's universal about humans is also what's most profound. We all want the same thing. We want to be happy. We want to love and be loved. We struggle when there's illness, when there's aging, when people die. We all get heartbroken, you know, we're just so human and we're all so human. And do we remember that? Or do we focus on our petty differences? The metta understanding really is that everyone is just like me down deep. And this is wonderful. We all, you know, what we have in common is so profound. And the Dalai Lama, you know, has some advice about how to, you know, set aside differences. And he says that it's very important to make a distinction between actor and action. And we have to oppose harmful action, but we don't have to oppose people, actors. Because once an action stops, a different action can come. And a person can become our friend. So this is a very, very helpful little metta tool, is to oppose actions we believe are harmful. Speech, you know, writings, opinions, physical actions. We can oppose the actions without denigrating the people or characterizing them negatively in some way. We don't know who people are. The issue is what someone does or says, and that's what we work with. That really helps our metta. We can oppose somebody even as we wish them well. You know, that's the essence of metta practice for difficult people, is that we oppose only their actions, and we remember that down deep, they have a heart just like ours. They're just trying to be happy. I think it's really important to say, if you're white, there's a common sort of well-meaning but harmful error that we can make as white people. And, you know, we might say to a person of color, oh, I don't see color. I just see the person, because down deep, we're all the same. We all want the same thing. Well, in an ultimate sense, that might be true, but in a relative sense, we have very different histories, And we as white people, you know, carry advantages and privileges. And we, by saying to a person of color, I just see you, I don't see color, that often lands as, oh, you're actually erasing the system of oppression and history of oppression in which I live. And, you know, that can really be harmful to people. So we need to really be clear in our understanding about this. There are differences that are really important to acknowledge, especially if we're in a position where we hold privilege or power. Okay, the third way, so we limit our ability to love through judging, and through focusing on our differences instead of, you know, the deep humanity we all share. And then, of course, desire and preference gets in the way. And with metta, you don't, someone, if you only could love those people you liked, your love would be very limited. Because we have preferences. We fit better with some people and not others. And are you going to cast the people out of your heart who just aren't a good fit with you? You know, to do that is to forget that they're just like me. Yeah, we don't fit together well for whatever reason. And it's a person trying to be happy just like me. You don't have to like someone to love them. So our preferences and our desires get really confused in our romantic relationships. We want our romantic relationships to look like this cartoon where two lovers are sitting on the edge of a couch, knee to knee, eyes are locked, they're holding hands, you know, their faces are 6 inches apart. and one of them says to the other, I'll be right back. I'm going to blink. Right? That's how we want. We just want this feeling of being so in love that, you know, I have to announce I'm going to blink. Often our relationships are more like this cartoon from Bruce Eric Kaplan. A couple and one partner are saying to the other, of course I care about how you imagined, I thought, you perceived, I wanted you to feel. Our relationships are complicated and hard. And this is because we confuse desire with love. How much of our energy with our partner is spent trying to get what we want from them versus metta? And metta is, in the metta world, love is just simply defined as wishing someone well, wishing someone to be happy. So just pay attention to that. How much of your energy is love energy with your partner, and how much of it is desire energy, trying to get what you want from them? And one more obstacle is our attachment to our views. And I just want to, I'll say more about that, but just to put in here that the more unconditional our love is, then the more we can act as service for the benefit of the world. And the love we feel inwardly expressed outwardly is justice. Cornel West, the scholar, said that justice is what love looks like in public. And on the Martin Luther King Memorial in Washington, D.C., is his quote, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. Our love isn't full, our love isn't complete when we express it in the public sphere. You know, and work in whatever way we feel is right to work for justice. Compassion and love includes the motivation to act, to help where we can. And then what gets in the way of this is attachment to view. This really gets in the way of our love. We could say it's the disease of our time. Instead of really listening to people and wanting to understand people, we get caught in our views. And we mistake our views and opinions for truth. They might be our truth. They're just not the truth. Everyone has their own views and opinions, and we will have them. The Buddha didn't recommend getting rid of attachments and getting rid of views and opinions. He recommended letting go of attachment to them, which really means just waking up to them and knowing, well, this is my opinion. The minute you say that, there's room for someone else's opinion. So loving well in this context means deep listening and being curious about people who aren't like you, which really means being curious about everyone. Loving well means listening to those who don't look like you, think like you, pray like you, gender like you, play like you. This is big love. When we're just willing to listen, when we step out of our judgments, our preferences, our pettiness, and we just start listening. So may we all do that today. I will stop here.